Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Unity Center for Positive Living. I'm going to light the zeal candle. We have about an inch and a half left, and only today. I think it's going to work. And I'm going to read my favorite affirmation from this month. My zeal shines from me, lighting my way forward and brightening our world. I glow. And each of you can take that with you as well. Next week, we start the month of release, the power of release. And the color for that is russet. So you can dig through your closet and see if you have a less orange shirt, right? Okay, so we're gonna start with our daily word. The word for today is creative. The creative energy of spirit expresses through me stunning visual arts, inspirational music, a brilliant performance. These are all lovely examples of creativity, but they are by no means the only ones. Creativity is the very nature of life. From the most soaring, soul-inspiring instances to the mundane moments that fill daily life, creative acts abound. Creative activities are prayers in action, a continuation of divine activity in its infinite manifestations. Living is a creative act. It's the way I am in the world, the way I love, the way I relate to all others. Understanding it in this way, I see how I am using my thoughts, feelings, and imagination to create my experiences. I bring my divine gifts to life through my creativity. And from Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion." And we will have our opening song, Surely the Presence, and Mike and Karen will lead us in that. We'll sing it two times, and we're going to sing with gusto. Yes, many, few gusto. Voices with lots of energy.
Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. I can feel the mighty power and the grace. I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. Surely God's love is in this place. I can feel the mighty power and the grace. I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place.
And we will say our opening statement together. And there it is. There is only one presence and one power active as the universe and as my life, God the Good. And our welcoming song this morning is This Is the Day. And please stand up.
Place where I
Okay, so you guys know this better than I do. You're still standing, and I didn't tell you to, so that's really good. We're going to greet our neighbor now. Usually I get Jerry to remind me. Good morning, Ethan. Oh my gosh, you're older.
Hey, Linda, hope your week was pretty good anyway. Hey, Johnny.
Hi, Maria.
How's it going? Greetings to you, my friend. Are you at home?
Yes, I am.
Huh.
I went out and saw a play last night, so I was up pretty late.
Oh, how was it?
It was okay. I've seen better down there. We have a very small playhouse here locally, and it's really intimate and just a wonderful, wonderful place to go and see a play.
Oh, that's nice.
We went and saw Arsenic and Old Lace last night, and It was pretty good. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
How's Dallas?
He's getting there. You know, it's a process.
Heard you had some car trouble.
Yeah. But it'll be better next time. Maybe we'll see you sooner than the end of the month. We may be switching with Karen and Mike for one of the times.
A different weekend. All right. All right. Good to hear you. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to hear Marietta's talk. Looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Me too. Me too, always.
Thanks. I may have to come back and listen to it another time because my granddaughter is possible that she's coming over today. I'm hoping.
Mm. Ah, fingers crossed.
Hi, Eileen.
Yes, the entertainers.
Okay.
Yeah. Sing and dance. They didn't have cool pants.
Like glad to see you here, Johnny.
Go on mute.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're all greeted up. Oh, and hello to all of you on Zoom. I don't think you can hear me, but hi anyway. All right, so it's time for our gratitude share. If anyone has any spectacular thing they're thankful for this week, this would be the moment to speak it.
You're limited to one sentence though, right?
Yeah. We'll give you two, Dave.
Thank you. So basically Milton recovery for us is on track. I got back Wednesday, I believe it was last week. I was down in Florida helping Cindy recover the house. Water mitigation's all been taken care of. Now it's scheduled with contractors, and as you would expect after a hurricane goes through, a lot of the contractors are
kind of busy.
So this is the long process, and you're still waiting for all the insurance stuff to settle up too. So it is good news. It's just a waiting game now.
Yes. So for those of you who didn't hear, Dave said that their recovery from Hurricane Milton is coming along. Things are good. They just have to wait because everybody wants help right now. So we're happy to have you back and glad that the devastation wasn't more. Yeah. Anybody else? Tom?
Yes, I'm. Today is the birthday of my father, so I wanted to say thank you to him for all of those years.
All right. Okay. Well, then, it's time for announcements. I do know that today on the fourth Sunday at 3 o'clock from 3 to 4:30, Circle America Book and Film Club is meeting on Zoom. And the topic today is civil engagement. And all that information is in the on the website and in the email that Penny has sent out. There are two cards downstairs for Fred and Sandy, so you could sign either or both of those. John reminded me that next week it will be standard time. So on Saturday night, you need to fall back so you're here on time. Set those clocks back. And we already talked about next month is the power of release. So if you have any russet clothing in your closet, you can dig it out. Who else has an announcement? Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at
my mom's doing better. She's eating about 50% more. Due to your prayers, she's getting a lot of healing. And I'm just happy that she's much better than she was some time ago. She wasn't eating properly last time I spoke to her, but she's eating a lot more now, getting stronger.
Okay, so Dixie is doing better. We're grateful for that, and we'll continue to pray for her. Eileen?
So, announcements?
Yeah.
Okay, so look for a message coming out from your board president about some thoughts and decisions and things you need to be thinking about here coming into the year. So that you'll look out for a president's message.
Okay. Seeing no other hands, I'm guessing we're done announcing. All right, then let's say our unity statement. Okay, join me please. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And our song of joy today is Deep Inside My Heart. And if you'd like to stand for that, that'd be great.
Deep inside my heart.
Deep inside my heart.
I've got this everlasting love.
I've got this everlasting love.
It's shining like the sun.
And now it's time for our reading, and that will be given to us by Sherry today. And I'd like to thank Sherry and Mike and Karen. They stepped up to help people who couldn't be here today, so we are grateful.
Okay, this is called The Power of Zeal, and it's by Deanne Weir Morency, Associate Minister at Unity, San Francisco, California. And it's entitled, I Give My Zeal, or I Ignite My Zeal by Focusing on What Brings Me Joy. Zeal is the engine that drives us. It is our get up and go. It expresses as a rush of energy at the start of something new and exciting, the energized enthusiasm that gets us out of bed, humming with expectation, and quiet intensity that keeps us moving forward. It is our passion for life. It is the revealing word. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore called it the inward fire of the soul that urges humankind onward. Zeal is a power that has always resonated with me. Yes, I am generally one of those energetic, enthusiastic, bouncy people who loves new ideas and forward momentum. I welcome new beginnings and feel most alive when I am deeply committed and passionately engaged and purposefully driven. For a long time, zeal came naturally to me until it didn't, until I lost my zeal. I had no mojo, no joy, no energy. I felt as if my life were on hold. Nothing interested me anymore. I couldn't move forward. I couldn't get traction. I had no forward momentum. Or did I? As I sat in what I now call the blahs, I slowly began to realize that the real forward momentum was and had always been within myself. Zeal can be shiny and bright and exuberant and out in the world. It can also be a quiet intensity burning from within. It can be big and explosive. It can be subtle, shifting our inner landscape. How do you consciously activate it? I have found it begins with noticing that in our life supports joy. Perhaps that is quietly sitting in the silence with deep commitment and willingness as running a 5K no matter what the weather is outside, or both. When I lost my zeal, what I really lost was an understanding of that brought me joy. I look back now and see how I used my zeal, all that activity, as a way to escape myself. I was avoiding the inner dissatisfaction that I was feeling. I see now that any loss of zeal is an early warning system, letting me know it is time to reevaluate how I am showing up in my life. I begin by listening anew what was important to me. I noticed shifts in my value system. New things were important to me. What would always happen if I lived into those new values? As I experimented, I paid attention to anything, no matter how small, that brought me joy. I looked beyond what I was good at and focused on what I felt fun and freeing. I took up piano and tried writing songs. Honestly, not much joy there. But singing, that brought me so much joy. Painting, I mean, not really paint, but I discovered I love painting. Walking the hills and riding my bike opened my heart. Being of service at my spiritual center was like a breath of fresh air. Baking bread didn't really do it for me, but having friends over for a six-course dinner every few months did. With each spark, I would breathe more life into it. I joined the church choir so I could sing and serve at the same time. I saved my money expectantly, and yes, with zeal, to buy a new bike that was a joy to ride. Each day, I find myself looking forward just as I save the money, then later as I bike to work. As one spark was ignited, another followed, and another, and another. As I rediscovered my zeal, I was able to channel it forward toward areas that were more challenging, less joy-inducing on their own. I struggled less with the tedium of recognizing the less joyful tasks as important to the larger picture of my now much more joyful life. Working longer days for a project, that meant more time off for a meditation retreat later that year. Igniting your zeal is about listening to what makes your heart sing, even if it is a very quiet song to start. When I find myself tiring, feeling low on energy and enthusiasm, the first thing I do now is listen. What do I need to realign? What have I forgotten? What do I need to discover anew that will bring me joy?
Thank you very much. And now it's time for our meditation song. Hang on, I'm gonna say the name of it. I practiced, actually. We are going to sing Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. Was that kind of close?
Perfect, yeah.
Okay. It's time for our affirmations. If you would join me, please, we will say these together. I am a joyous being of light. I am the love of God in expression. I am grateful for all that I am. I am one with the abundant nature of the universe. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and in the perfect way. And on this fourth Sunday of the month, we are going to say our prayer. So please join me. Mother, Father, Principal, Spirit Divine, who dwells in all, We are grateful for your infinite blessings. As we align with divine will to co-create heaven on earth, you fulfill all our needs. We embrace all of life, knowing you also embrace all of life. We know you are always present. Your love, power, presence are right here, right now, and always, and so it is. Oh, and we're going to sing the Alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
We have a different speaker each week of the month, and today we are going to be hearing from Mariette Jones, our licensed Unity teacher from Windsor, Ontario, Canada. And the title of her talk today is Bring Out Your Best. Welcome, Mariette.
Thank you. Hey, friends. So good to be here with y'all today. I have a story for you. Facing Your Demons. The Tibetans tell a wonderful story about the great meditation master, Milarepa, who lived about 900 years ago. Milarepa sought out remote caves high in the Himalayas, where he practiced meditation. Once he found himself in a cave inhabited by a company of demons that distracted him greatly from his practice. Demons apparently frequented caves in those days, looking for some action, no doubt. First, he tried to subdue them, but they wouldn't budge. And then he decided to honor them and extend friendliness and compassion to them. And half of them left. He was on to something. The rest he welcomed wholeheartedly and invited to return whenever they wished. At this invitation, all but one particularly ferocious demon vanished like a rainbow. With no concern for his own body and with utmost love and compassion, Milarepa went up to this demon and placed his head in its mouth as an offering. The demon disappeared without a trace, never to return. Friends, consider the story of Milarepa the next time you're struggling with your own inner demons, emotions, and states of mind that you find challenging or unpleasant. Imagine what might happen if you welcomed them instead of trying to drive them away. So this story brings to my mind the wisdom of Martha Creek, who wrote a wonderful book called Presence and Potential: Experience Your Higher Self and Live in Wholeness. So she gifted me this book and my fellow licensed Unity teachers at the recent retreat that we experienced together about 2 weeks ago. And it was a wonderful retreat. And Martha Creek, this was the first time I had really had a chance to experience her wisdom, her presence. I had never heard her talk before. She talked about accepting all of our parts, all our parts, even those we would label as demons. The stuff that we fret about, our judgy voices, the fear, What happens when we get into our fight, flight, and freeze? Default reaction, survival brain stuff. She talked about, you know, what to do when that happens. I really enjoyed Martha's presence. She cries a lot when she speaks. She talks so much from the heart that she's actually always walking over to grab a Kleenex, to wipe her nose, to dab her tears, because she's so in touch with her feelings and letting herself feel and not worrying about being perfect. She's a real inspiration to me, because I think a lot of you know that that is my inspiration, to talk from my heart. And that's what I'm going to do today with all of you, is talk from my heart to your heart. So this past Friday, not this past Friday, the Friday before, October 18th, my father-in-law passed over to the realm of infinite glory and peace and love. And that was really shocking for my husband and I. We didn't expect it. So we really leaned on each other. I was there for him. He was there for me. And we promised each other, when the thoughts all started crowding in and the stresses, we stopped, we paused, and we held on to each other. We promised, let's just take it one step at a time. Let us just take one moment at a time. Because in chunks like that, we can do anything. We can get through anything together, you know, face our grief, face our fears, and receive the blessing of love through it all. His sister flew in with her husband the next day on Saturday. And, you know, this was a wonderful opportunity for the four of us to work together. He only has one sister, so the family's very small. And so the four of us were going to be together for a week. So she just left on yesterday, actually, to go back home to California, where she lives. And there was so many opportunities for us to work together as a team. And as those opportunities came up, I was really happy to be part of that team. You know, we had different jobs we had to do. We had to plan the funeral. And there was lots of things that she wanted to help us with, like clearing the house. And together we washed his van and cleaned out his van, getting it ready. She's decided to take it back home with her eventually. And it was really good to work together. It was a blessing. At the same time, there were fears that came up, for me at least, and anxieties. And what the anxiety is about is Mary and I, Jim's sister Mary, we've never been close. We've kind of stood apart from each other. There's a wall between us. There's some kind of fear. I don't know if it's because our personalities are different, or if we're just afraid of one another, or if we're just both shy people, or if we've made up stories about the other person in our heads, you know. And it's been hard for me to feel myself around her, and for her to feel herself around me. So there was some stress and anxiety that came up for me. And it's even stressful for me to talk to you about it right now. So when these fears and, you know, when my survival brain started thinking, like, you know, you're not safe around her, you know, she's judging you, I wonder what she's thinking, when these kinds of things came up, I would pause and take a breath, and you know, not buy into it. So Martha Creek, she talks about regulating anxiety. Regulate your own anxiety is chapter two. Regulating anxiety sounds easy, and yet it is one of the most difficult tools I've practiced throughout my life. After decades of practicing this, how struck I am when I see very mature, intelligent, highly functioning people, including myself, unable to regulate anxiety. She goes on to say, we can all learn to regulate anxiety in high stress situations without denying our own feelings and losses. We have been taught many common and profound practices to regulate anxiety, such as pausing before responding or pausing before proceeding. I'm fond of phrasing this practice as the three P's. I've been known to say, pause, pray, and proceed, or pause, presence, then proceed, or pause, prepare, and then proceed. Find whatever your three P's are. Application is key, of course. This tool has served me well in every profession I've had, including human resources, ministry, coaching, counseling, family matters, and relationship matters. Pausing, preparing, and then proceeding will serve you well. In regulating our own feelings, anxiety, and thoughts, we become informed, aligned, and connected. This practice makes us collaborative, innovative, thoughtful listeners, strong space holders for others. And that's what my goal was, to be a strong space holder for my husband and for my husband's family, to support them as best as I could. And I did a really good job. She says, you know, the question is not, do I do this? You know, have anxiety or default to fight, flight, or freeze? Of course you do. We all do. It's instinctual, hardwired, automatic. When it happens, it can even seem like we don't have any control over it. It's such a knee-jerk reaction and such a patterned response that we feel unable to control ourselves. We take action without even knowing what we are doing. So this is what we're dealing with here, a power of a reaction that is so innate, so instinctual, so automatic. Saying regulate my own anxiety is no little thing. To be able to build in a pause when we get triggered, when we get upset, affronted, afraid, panicked, terrorized, humiliated, embarrassed, any emotion that arises, that's huge to build in that pause. Our task is to create an automatic pause in the situation, in our reaction. So before we speak, pause. Before we defend, pause. Before we go to war with another, pause. Before we go silent or withhold, whatever our patterned ways of being are, we put the pause in there first. So how can we get there? For me, how I got there was to get still, to get relaxed. So I grabbed my blanket and went to Nature Alley, which is a little place near my house that is railroad property, and somebody or somebodies have planted many, many trees over the past 20 years. And so it's a little forest, a little mecca of nature. And I go there, I brought my blanket, I laid down, I stared at the golden poplar tree. And I'll tell you why I needed to really take that pause. It was challenging for me sometimes in the planning of the funeral and in all the communications that were happening with my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and Jim and me. It was challenging for me to stay centered sometimes because I would get scared, so of being misunderstood. So there was, you know, sometimes when you're texting with someone, it can, the meaning can get lost. And so I thought my sister-in-law was joking about something where she texted me. And so I, you know, put ha 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 back, and she wasn't joking. So she reached out to my husband and talked to him about what, you know, that she, what she wanted, and that she was serious, I found out. And so then I felt foolish and awkward about the whole thing. And then I started creating stories about, you know, how she's probably hurt, or, you know, she, you know, what a fool I've been. And, you know, the inner critic got going, and the whole cycle got started, the cycle of fear and not trusting. And, you know, being insecure, right? So I did, I paused, I went to nature, and I also came home, and I was open with my husband about my feelings. And he was like, talk to her, you know, talk to her. Yeah, he encouraged me. You know, it was really, really hard for me, really hard. And I did it. I called her and I said, hey, you know, when I texted you, I wasn't laughing at you. I thought you were joking, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I cleared the air with her, and she wasn't even hurt. She was like, I'm not that sensitive, Mary. Like, it's okay. And so here I am making all these stories in my head, right? And it went really well. I was really courageous because I was, you know, when it was so hard for me to do, because there was fear yelling in my ear that I couldn't trust, that I wasn't safe. Like, what are you doing? Put the phone down. Like, it can be really hard, right? We tell ourselves these stories and we believe them. So that's where the pause is, getting still and understanding that our divinity is stronger than any fear, any inner demon that we carry that hasn't left, that hasn't departed, that is still with us. In the stillness, we can find compassion. You know, when I was in nature, just staring at that tree, I was giving myself compassion, a rest. I was realizing that I'm okay. And then I prayed, you know, and I affirmed the truth that I was safe, that I could trust, and that I am love. And I'm clearing the channel. I'm clearing the stuff that gets in the way of love. So I told myself the truth, and I did the courageous thing. So that is just an example in my life of how I use my tools to get to love, to clear the channel. Martha Creek, she says this, keeping relationships open includes speaking directly to somebody, going directly to the source. This is one of the most important practices I've had throughout my life. I work at it all the time, even when it's hard, difficult, and uncomfortable. If I find I have a hard feeling, it's important to me to be authentic about that in my conversation. It's the difference between speaking with someone versus speaking to someone or about someone. It's the opposite of gossiping, venting, blaming, and shaming. What does this look like for me? I'll go to someone directly and say, hey, I felt bad about this, or my feelings were hurt about this, or I wanted to talk about this, or I feel like there's something going on in our relationship that I want to reconcile, I want to resolve. It's hard. And it's good. It's really good stuff. You know, I believe that when Jesus said, do not be anxious, you know, but trust, in me, trust in God, trust in Christ, the Christ power within you. I believe he wasn't saying that we'll never have anxiety. Anxiety is part of being human. I believe he was saying, regulate it. Pause. Enter into the stillness so that you know what you are, so that you remember what you are. You are godness divine. You are godness divine. I just made that up. Did you like that? You are love. You are strength. You are power. You are zeal. You know, I was also reading in the book where I found the Tibetan story about the demons. The book is Meditation for Dummies, okay? Okay, it's not saying anything about us, okay? We're not dummies, but that's just the name of the book. It also talks about this. Many people are reluctant to admit they're afraid, even to themselves. However, somehow they believe that if they acknowledge their fear, they give it power to run their lives. In other words, deep down, they're afraid of their fear. That's something else to keep in mind, right? Not to run away from our fear, to be afraid of our fear. We can be like the person, the meditation master who offered his head to the mouth of fear, like I did when I picked up that phone. I just said, I'm doing it. It's not, it feels like it's going to gobble me up alive, but it's not. It's just some kind of illusion or hallucination that I'm having. And I want to tell you that it turned out really, really well, because by the end of the week, we achieved some wonderful bonding. You know, we experienced the funeral, the goodbye, the honoring of our dad. We grew closer together. I kept the channels of love and light open between me and Mary. And when we were the night before she was to leave, which was yesterday, Friday night, we went to a pub and we had drinks and we had a wonderful time. You know, we had drinks and we were chatting and I realized this is real. Like I was looking for that wall that we had between us and it was gone. There was authenticity, realness. I was seeing her with clear eyes of love. Yeah. And I thought Ray, my father-in-law, would be so happy that we've achieved this. Relationships really are the most important thing to me and to really everybody. You know, it's our life, isn't it? And when we suffer a loss, somebody, you know, moves on to the other side of life, then we have each other. We have each other and we celebrate life even more fully. And it's all an invitation to just move deeper into our love and let go of our fears. So I think that's everything I want to share with you today. Let's take the time to meditate now. And you know, I'd like you to think of your own life and perhaps the challenges that you have right now. And perhaps there's an anxiety that you're suffering right now. Whatever that is, I invite you to take tender care of it. Be compassionate with your anxiety. So let's just get comfortable in our seats and just breathe. Nice and full breath, a breath, nice full breath, nice deep breaths. And just go into our inner sanctum of light. God being everywhere present is right there. And we are one with that, that light, that love. It is us. It is what we are. God is compassion. We are compassion. You are compassion. And so I invite you to just visualize compassion within you, holding your anxious self, your anxious thought, your anxious belief. Hold it tenderly as you would a small, frightened child. Perhaps put your hand on your heart or someplace on your body that feels soothing. And let us go into the silence, feeling our compassion. For a couple of minutes. Compassion is the way of love. And that's what we are. You are love. You are compassion. Just know that and feel that. Celebrate your beautiful, loving self. You are so good. You are so beautiful. And I love you. Mwah. Blessings all.
Thank you, Mariette. It's always good to be reminded about the pause and the silence. It's time now for our healing prayer. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, you can speak out their names or hold them quietly in your hearts. Members of our church have asked that we send out healing prayers and energy to all people and animals displaced by war and natural disasters, the members of our communities who struggle to meet basic human needs, those we have lit candles for, and those you can mention now. I think that in addition to people, we could pray for things like Dallas and Linda's car and Dave and Cindy's house. So all the folks that are going to be involved in healing those things, we are grateful for them. The folks who we pray for ongoing, Dixie, who is feeling better, Fred, Hallie, anyone else you'd like to mention?
Gail Spading.
For all the people we have heard and for those you are holding close, we say, beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And now it's our opportunity to give. We are so grateful for the spirit of generosity by giving of our time, talent, and treasure. We welcome each of these gifts from you as a member of our spiritual community. Let's say our offering prayer together as we hold our offering in our hands and hearts. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. All right, let's say our blessing of thanks together. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly, and so it is. And it's time for our prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And it's time for our peace song. So if you would stand and circle up and join hands, we'll prepare for that. While we thank Mariette for being our speaker, Mike and Karen for being our musicians, Sherry for doing the reading, Johnny for creating the great slides, and Tom for setting up all the tech stuff. Next week, our speaker will be Dr. Daria Funches, and we hope to see you then and downstairs to have a bite to eat after.
Mm-hmm.